And today we're going to talk about some good fear and some bad fear. Actually, I had so many different phone calls and conversations from different people that really resonated in people's lives, the message on fear. And in fact, remember the list that I gave you last week of folks that I need to have interviews and testimonies? Well, one of them in particular came up to me and said, you know what, I have a testimony that I'd like to share with you on how the Lord has helped me to overcome anger. And I want to share with you on video, if you'll cast your eyes to the screen, a video of Eric's story of how he is how the Lord is helping to overcome anger. If you will, look at the screen. Isn't that good to hear? Yeah, let's give God praise for that. Eric, how you doing? You hiding under that hat? That was you, buddy. All right. And by the way, next week, we're going to be speaking on how to overcome a critical spirit. If you've been dealing with in over your life that you become like you tend to be more critical of people and things, I would love for you to be authentic and help the congregation by sharing how the Lord is helping you to overcome. Not that you've overcome it necessarily, but that the Lord is helping you to overcome it. I need someone. Otherwise, I'm going to the mall and interviewing somebody somewhere. But I would love for it to be somebody here in the congregation. If you will, just give me a ring, okay? Just give me a call, email me, and say, hey, I'm willing for you to record me and put something together for next week. So, Eric, thank you for being authentic. Thank you for sharing that this morning with us. And I know we all can say amen to that. We all deal with anger at one time or another in our lives. There's not one person in this place that I would believe could say that they don't deal with some form of anger in their lives. And today we're going to talk about that. You know, just you can look up in the newspaper just any given day on the internet stories about how people deal with their anger, not necessarily in a healthy way. Just this last week, there was a young man down in Jacksonville, a video gamer, who, because he lost some games or something, got mad and went in and shot some people and just decided he was just going to, you know, deal with his anger that way. And you think about that and you think how sad it is, and it absolutely is, but there's this unhealthy sort of anger as we lash out and as we express ourselves in a way that is not healthy to ourselves or to the people around us. And that's really what I want us to talk about this morning is how the Lord has put in us the ability to be angry, and that's okay as long as it's directed towards the right things or the right circumstances. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, the healthy anger and also the unhealthy anger. Let's start this morning by talking about unhealthy anger. Now, as fear is debilitating, we also saw that last week, how fear can be debilitating if it's unhealthy fear. We also can see that anger can be destructive, and it's actually sinful. And we take this verse in Ephesians 4:26, and it just really is one of those ones that kind of gets us, I think. As you read it, Ephesians 4:26, the first part of it says, be angry and don't sin, which seems like a contradiction in terms. How can you be angry and not sin? Well, actually, you can be angry and not sin. Well, the other side of that is you can be angry and also you can sin in your anger. So there's a warning to that. And I want us to take a real quick tour as we begin our message here this morning and take a tour of Proverbs. If we will write these scriptures down, you can look at them later, because you look at Proverbs 14:17. Proverbs is just packed full, by the way, of scriptures that talk about anger. But let's talk about I'm going to pull out three of them so you can kind of get a real pretty good snapshot of what the author of Proverbs, really what the Holy Spirit is talking about. It says, a quick-tempered man acts foolishly. Say the word foolishly with me. So you have this hot-tempered, quick-tempered person who acts foolishly. Now, if you take that word foolish and you realize that word foolish is not a good word, you don't want to be called a fool. You don't want to be someone who is labeled as someone who acts foolishly. In company with that, the Bible says that the fool says that there's no God. So in the category of being a fool, there's people that say out there, there's no God. So if you're a fool and acting hatefully and acting quick-tempered, you're also in the same category as the same person who says, there is no God. I don't want to be in that category. How about you? The Bible also says, a fool and his money is soon departed ways. I don't think I want to be departed from my money, because I need some money to pay my bills and to take care of feeding my stomach and take care of making sure I'm funding the kingdom properly and all that sort of thing. I don't want to be poor. I'd like to have some means to myself. So a fool and his money are soon departed. So that puts that same person in the category who's a hothead is also someone who's really poor with their money. I don't want to be in that category either, do you? I don't think so. So you take these people that are fools, and the Bible calls these people that are fools, people that are hot-headed, that they say that there's no God, they say that there's no they have no money, and on it goes. People that are foolish are in these awful categories of categories that I don't want to be in. Then you move on to, you take Proverbs 15:18, and it says here that that a hot-headed man, a wrathful man, stirs up strife. We're just going to take that first part right there. In other words, he's destructive. When you take strife, and you take the word strife and destruction, it's the same thing. There's different versions of it that talks about it being wrath meaning destructive, because wrath means that there's this path of destruction. Have you ever seen a tornado, a picture of a hurricane or a tornado that cuts through a community? You can have houses on either side of this path of the tornado, but where the tornado hits, it just completely flattens and devastates. Do you know what destruction means? I looked up the word destruction in the dictionary. It means to make something non-existent and to make something irreparable. Let me just talk to you about that for just a second, because if you're a hothead, if you have a quick temper, if you tend to be right there at just a moment's notice that you're angry about any little thing, and it ends up being something that you do towards your family, let's say it towards your spouse or towards your children, did you know that when you act out in a way as a hot-tempered person, that when you act out towards that person, that you're actually destroying them? There's a destruction that takes place in their spirits. There's a destruction that takes place in their thinking of how they think about themselves. There's a destruction that takes place in who God has made them to be and who God has called them to be. You're destroying something. You're making it non-existent. You're making it almost irreparable. Only God can bring it back to repair. But why destroy something that God has made so beautiful? Why destroy something? Why act out in such a way where you're so hot-tempered and you're so quick-tempered that at the moment's notice that you lash out in such a way where you're bringing destruction upon your child, upon your spouse, upon your coworker, upon that person, that total stranger, as they're driving down the street and they cut you off because they think they own the road more than you do? Or maybe they're talking in church and you turn around just like we saw that skit this morning and just go, shh. And maybe the Lord's dealing with their hearts in some way. And you're so quick-tempered that you just tell them to be quiet. And boy, you've just touched something in their hearts that maybe causes them to just shut down. And then they just walk away and say, well, that's what church is all about. If that's what Jesus is all about, as my father and my mother are speaking into my life these destructive things, if that's what a Christian is all about, I don't want anything to do with it. Acting out in anger, a coworker. You know, Eric was talking about that, how I've decided to just really not be angry and really just trust in the peace of the Lord to help me to be more Christ-like. And my boss is seeing things differently now. And he's saying it's because I'm working on my relationship with Jesus Christ. What a great testimony. It's not that we're perfect. Let me just say this. God is not expecting us to serve him perfectly, but he is expecting us to serve him passionately. And that means with all of our hearts. Not a perfect heart, because we're never going to be perfect, but at least we're doing it passionately. We're going to mess up. We're going to be angry. We're going to say and do things that we wish we hadn't said and done. But as long as we're passionately trying to serve him and be more Christ-like, then those things are being few and far between in our lives. So we take this foolishness, and we take this hothead who's foolish, and we take this hothead who's destructive, and then we add one more thing to it. In Proverbs 19:19, it says that a man of great wrath will suffer punishment, for if you rescue him, you will have to do it again. Here's the thing. When you act out foolishly as a hothead and you're destructive, that means it's a cycle. It means it's repetitive. You're going to do it over and over and over and over again unless you do something about it. How many knows what I'm talking about? You don't have to nod your head in agreement with me. But if you're walking in that way where you realize, man, I got mad again. I lost my cool again. I lashed out again. I said those hateful words again. I did that awful thing again. What's wrong with me? It's a cycle. You're a foolish, destructive hothead. You're a foolish, destructive hothead. When you act out in anger in that way, when you're right at a moment's notice, I know people like that. My grandpa was like that. My dad was like that for a long time until the Lord got a hold of him. I was like that until I was 11 years old. And I've told this story before, but for those of you who haven't heard it, my brother, older brother, how many's got an older brother, older sister who just aggravated the tar out of you? We'll form a club. 3 years older than me, he knew which buttons to push, and every time he punched the button, I would just blow up and just get mad at him because he was such an aggravator. And he loved it. He laughed at me. He cackled. He thought it was hilarious. I was putting on a show for him. Hey, punch the button and watch the puppet, you know, dance around in anger. Well, finally, I got so mad at him one day, I took up a chair and I threw it at him and missed him and hit the refrigerator. Yeah, I made a dent in the refrigerator. My parents got home. I knew I was in bad, bad shape, in trouble. Certainly, I got punished for it. I deserved it. But I remember at that time going into my room and saying, God, as an 11-year-old boy, God, I don't want this temper anymore in my life. Please help me. Help me. Take it away from me. And he did. I didn't know he did at the time, but he heard my sincere prayer. And the next time my brother punched the buttons in my life, it wasn't that I was acting in such a way where I said, I will not get mad. I will not get mad. I wasn't doing that. I was just acting. It just didn't bother me. Whatever he did to me, it just didn't bother me. In fact, I laughed at him. Not in an accusatory way, but just like, it just doesn't bother me, sort of. That doesn't bother me anymore. I was laughing almost at myself and out loud, not at him, but just as a, wow, what a difference. This doesn't bother me anymore. He got so upset, he got mad. And he tried it a couple more times, and it just didn't bother me, and he stopped bothering me after that. He went on to whatever he was doing to aggravate other people and living his life, and I wasn't entertainment to him anymore. But the Lord took that away from me. The cycle was broken. There's a foolish, destructive cycle, and if you have a quick temper, I promise you, you're labeled this morning as a foolish, destructive person who's going to do it over and over and over again based on what God's Word says. I'm going to add something else to it. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said this in verse 21 and 22. He says, you've heard that it was said to those of old that you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But, he adds this, I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Wow. Let's just stop right there. If you're angry at your brother, if you have aught right now against your brother without cause. Now, if you have cause, then let's talk about that in just a few minutes. There's a path to do that. The Bible talks about, you know, going to your brother and making amends and all that. That's a different message for a different time. But if you're just angry to be angry, just because you're angry, because you're Irish, or because you have red hair, or because your dad was angry, because temper wrench in your family, because you're an Italian or whatever, which is a cop-out, an excuse. If you're just angry to be angry, then the Bible says that's equal to, it's akin to murder. That's just some heavy words right there. And I don't think I want to live with that. If you've never murdered someone, great. But if you're angry at someone without cause, you're angry just because you're angry, then you might as well just, you're equal to murder. I don't want to say you might as well murder him. Don't do it. But you, as far as God's Word says, you might as well have murdered them. Because it's equal to murder. I don't like that at all. I know you don't either. But that's what God's Word says. That's how catastrophic and destructive and sinful anger is in God's eyes. When it's directed in the wrong way, that sinful anger, that fleshly anger, the anger that is not good and healthy. We go back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. And he starts off by saying, be angry and don't sin. But then he says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. That's an actually added little thought there. Let's talk about that for just a minute. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, don't harbor it. Don't make it your pet. Don't name it and feed it and carry it along on a leash and let it become something that becomes part of your life. Don't justify it. And let it be something that becomes part of who you are. Because you'll start looking through those lenses of unforgiveness and anger towards that person or that situation and say, I hate this person because they molested me when I was a child. I hate this person because they stole money from me. I hate this person because they lied about me. I hate this person and fill in the blank. But the Bible says, don't let the sun go down on that. Why? Why? Why not let the sun go down on it? Hey, they did me wrong. I deserve to be angry. They did wrong. I did nothing to deserve it. And so my response is, I'm going to be mad at you because I'm justified in it. Well, let me tell you, it doesn't hurt them. It hurts you. You know how it hurts you? Ephesians 4:31 talks about a progression in this. Look at this. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Let's stop right there. Keep that scripture up there. You see, there's a progression. If you let the sun go down on your wrath, it's going to turn into, eventually, bitterness. And you know what bitterness is? I looked up the definition of bitterness. It just simply means resentment. I'm just resenting you. I'm resenting that person who did wrong against me. I'm holding it in, and I'm justifying it, and I'm now resenting you. I'm bitter against you. I let the sun go down on my wrath. I chose to not forgive, and now I'm angry, and I'm resentful. The next one is, it talks about wrath. Wrath and anger, kind of the same thing. Wrath, as we defined it earlier, simply means resentment, but it's more than just resentment. It's a boiling resentment. So it's like you're turning up the heat a little bit. Wrath is a boiling resentment. So you're turning up the heat. You know what a boiling pot looks like? Every once in a while, it'll kind of pop out. Bubbles everywhere. It's a lot of activity going on in there. You may still be kind of calm on the outside, but inside, you're boiling hot. You're so mad at that person, you're just starting to think about it a little bit more. You're entertaining it a little bit more. It becomes larger, becomes a larger person of who you are. And finally, it gets to the place of clamor and evil speaking. Clamor and evil speaking are the same thing. It simply means you're lashing out with words. I hate you. I despise you. I wish you'd go to you know where. And on that it goes. We speak all manner of evil. We it comes out of us, in other words. Anger is that clamor and that evil speaking where we're just really just, it's coming out of us. That boiling boils over into words, hurtful words. And finally, it gets to the last part. It says, put away from you with all malice those things. You know what malice is? It means not only hurtful, hateful words, but it means hurtful deeds. It means that you actually do something to hurt them. Malice is hurting people. I hit you. I punch you, I stab you, I shoot you, I do something to hurt you because you hurt me, because hurt people hurt people. And since you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you because I chose to let the sun go down on my wrath, because I chose to not forgive, and I begin to pet this and feed it, and it grows so much in me that it becomes something of not, it's really not who I am. I just act out. And that's kind of what went on with that guy in Jacksonville. And on it goes. You can go to social media. Hey, listen, social media is a awful vehicle for something like this. People just lash out. There's so much hate. There's so much ugly words that are going on out there. And people begin to act it out. That's why people kill other people. That's why roadside rage. That's why people shoot. That's why people are, it's awful because of anger. Because they allowed the sun to go down in their wrath. They didn't work it out. So what must we do? The title of this message is Overcoming Anger. So now we know that there's this sinful, destructive, hot-headed cycle that takes place in our lives where we attack and we lash out and we say things because we harbor it inside of us instead of allowing the Lord to take it. And so there's four things that I want to talk to you about this morning as to how we can overcome anger. The first one is found in Ephesians 4:31. It says here, put away from you, that line right there, evil speaking, be put away from you, that phrase, put away from you, that simply just means to repent. You're putting it away from you. So the first thing we do is we repent. Repent. Put it away from you. Put it away from you. Put it away from you. Repent. You know what? Anger and sin not. When you anger towards someone, that's a sin. So you got to repent. Every time we sin, we got to repent. Lord, forgive me for being angry at that person. I don't even know that person. Forgive me for being angry at my spouse. Forgive me for being angry at my parents. Forgive me for being angry at my boss. Forgive me for being angry. Forgive me. I repent. Because I am angry and I'm sinning in my anger. The second thing that we do is found in Ephesians 4:32. It's right after that. Ephesians 4:32. Let's take that scripture and put it up there. Ephesians 4:32. Ephesians 4:32, I'll read it to you. It says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Boy, that is just packed right there. That's just packed with goodies. God is calling us to first off repent, put it away. Secondly, he's saying to that person that you're angry with, be kind to them. Love them. Be tender-hearted towards them and walk in forgiveness towards them. So that's the second thing that you do. Be kind, love, be tender-hearted, forgive. Ephesians 4:32. Here's the third thing. Romans 12:19. Go to Romans 12:19. Here's the part that's hard. But this is what I can tell you right now, is that God's going to fight your battles for you. Romans 12:19. Write that down, the scripture up on the screen, if you will put that up there, Romans 12:19. Beloved, don't avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. Give place means to lay it aside, put it in the right place. For it is written that vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. You know, that's so hard for us to do because we want to get even. We want to make sure that they get their just desserts. We want to make sure that it's done and that it's done right. And right means the way that we want it done. But the fact is that if we give it to the Lord and we give place to our wrath, the thing is we're going to be angry. I mean, we're going to be angry a lot. There's a place to put it. Give place to it. You give place to it by placing it in the hands of the Lord and letting him fight your battles for you. How many knows that he knows exactly what to say, what to do, when to say it, how to do it? He knows the specifics of how to minister to that person. And it's not a sic 'em God sort of thing. Did you know that God's goal for that person is to redeem them? Yeah, it's not to get them back, but it's to get them back. It's not to get them back, but it's to get them back because he loves them and he wants to redeem them. So has people done bad stuff to you? You bet they have. Has anyone had any everything bad done to you and you've been angry at them? If so, say amen. Yeah. So here's the thing. We take that and we give it to the Lord and say, Lord, I pray that you give me a heart of tenderness towards them, of compassion towards them, of kindness towards them, and help me to trust you to fight my battles for me, that good's going to come out of it, that glory's going to come to your name, that these people, I pray for their soul. Oh, God, save them. Help them to see the error of their ways. Show them, Lord God, the reality of who you are. Pray for them. Bible says to pray for those who spitefully use you and do all manner of evil against you. Don't curse them. Pray for them. Give it to God. Oh, but they're already dead, Pastor. You don't know. They hurt me when I was a child. Give it to God. Let him fight your battles for you because we don't battle against flesh and blood, but against spirits and principalities. And the spirit of evil, the spirit of anger, the spirit of fear, it all comes from Satan himself. And anger, the wrong kind of anger, the sinful kind of anger, is the anger that comes from Satan himself. And if he's looking for that open door, you open it up and you let him come on in, and you'll be like that. You'll be like me when I was an 11-year-old boy picking up that chair and throwing it at my brother. Just a little puppet in his hands. But Lord, I yield to you this emotion that you placed in me that must be channeled in the right way, and right now it's not. It's channeled in the wrong way. It's a foolish, destructive cycle in my life, and I'm tired of it. And I give it to you, and I help you to. I know you're going to help me to fight my battles for me. And no matter if that person's a million miles away or they've been long gone from this earth, the battle belongs to you. And I give you my anger. I give you all the results of it. And won't you fight my battles for me and help me to walk in your love and your peace? And here's the fourth thing. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 talks about these fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. And there's several of these in here that we can apply to our anger. First one is love. I'd much rather have love than anger. I'd much rather have joy than anger. I'd much rather have peace than anger. Oh, there's long-suffering, there's kindness, there's goodness and faithfulness. A lot of those can be applied to how you respond to anger. The verse 23 really talks about it. It talks about gentleness. Oh, yeah, self-control. That's a big one. Against us, there is no law. There's so many of those fruit of the Spirit. Who is the Spirit? What are these fruit? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of Christ. It's the character qualities of Christ as we've invited Christ into our life and say, Jesus, be the Lord of my life, not just my Savior to wash me clean of my sins, but be my Lord. Take my life. Take my emotions. Take my past. Take my hurts. Take the way I think. Take my possessions. Everything about me I give to you, including my anger. And let the fruit of Christ rise up in me and be gentle and have self-control and walk in love and all of those things that are the right way to do it. So the four things, this is a review, repent. Secondly, be kind, love, and forgive one another. Then also, thirdly, let God fight your battles for you. And then finally, allow the fruit of the Spirit to rise up in you and to reign in your life. So the phrase, the scripture, Jesus said it, the word says in Ephesians 4:26, to be angry and don't sin. How? How and what is the kind of anger that we can walk in and not sin? Well, there's a clue of it found in Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Jesus was going into the synagogue, and again, he saw this man who was there, and he had a withered hand. And so the Pharisees watched him closely and whether he would heal him, because Jesus was there on the Sabbath, and you're not supposed to do anything on the Sabbath. And they were very much following the letter of the law, the Pharisees were. So if he was going to do anything, they could accuse him of doing something, of working on the Sabbath. Verse 3. And so Jesus said to the man who had the withered hand, step forward. And then he said to the Pharisees around him, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save a life or to kill? But the Pharisees, they kept silent. And when Jesus had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, and that's the key right there, he said to the man, stretch out your hand, and he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. See, when it says, when he looked around them with anger, you see that? Jesus looked around with anger. Jesus? Angry? Yeah. Jesus looked around at the Pharisees, and he was angry. Why was he angry? It's because of this. He was grieved by their hardness of their hearts. He was angry at the sin, because a hardened heart is a sinful heart. He was angry at the sin, not the sinner. He was angry at the action, not the actor. His anger was towards the awfulness that was going on as a result of what they were doing, never at the person. He loved the Pharisees. He died for the Pharisees. Jesus died for all mankind. He never hated the Pharisees. He hated what they did. He was angry at what they did. He was grieved at what they did. And in this case, it was because they had a hardened heart. The thing is they didn't want Jesus to bring healing to this man. All they were worried about was the rules, 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 rules. It happened to be on the Sabbath, but you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath based on the Jewish rules. But Jesus saw the need, and he didn't care what day it was, because he is the Lord of the Sabbath. And he realized that this man needed a touch from him. And he reached beyond the rules and saw that man's need and had compassion on him and brought healing. Well, the Pharisees were beside themselves. That just added to their list of the hateful, awful things that they had towards Jesus. And ultimately, you know the story, they were able to bring him to a place of murder. Of course, Jesus rose again. But they were angry. The Pharisees were angry at Jesus. And Jesus was also angry at their hardened hearts, but he was not angry at the Pharisees. And this is what we can take from that story. How we can be angry and not sin is that we're angry at the sin and not the person. And this is what we need to be angry about, folks. And I close with this. We can be angry, but if you find yourself being angry at a person, then it's time for you to repent of that. Today you can repent and say, Lord, I don't want to carry this around. Not one more day, not one more second. I'm tired of being angry. I'm tired of walking at just a hair trigger moment's notice that I snap and I just react. I foolishly lash out as a hot-headed, tempered person, and there's this cycle of anger in my life where it just leaves a path of destruction no matter where I go. And I'm tired of that. I don't want to be that way anymore. I don't want to walk into a room and everybody leaves because they know how I am. I don't want to be around. I don't want to be the person that people walk on eggshells around all the time. Better be careful what I say and what I do around that person, because at any moment it may just trigger something in them and they'll snap. I don't want to be that kind of person, do you? Oh, we can overcome this anger, folks. I know you've been done bad. Okay, so was Jesus. I mean, think about it. He was lived a perfect life, a sinless life, and yet he's hanging on the cross accused of being all that he was accused of. And the one thing that he said, several things, but the one thing that he said on the cross that we can look at and say, wait a minute, if he can do it, I can, is he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was not angry because he saw what was going on. He had compassion on them. He pitied them because of their blindness. There's folks that are out there hurting you, but they're walking in blindness. They're walking in sin. They're walking in flesh. They're walking out in a way that is not Christ-like, not in the fruit of the Spirit. Just because they do it doesn't mean that we need to respond in kind. We need to respond Christ-like by the fruit of the Spirit, walking in self-control, love and forgiveness, tender-hearted, compassionate, all of those things. And as we do, we'll be like what we heard the testimony from Eric just a few minutes ago. He says, my boss is seeing something different in my life. You know, my coworkers are seeing something different because I made a determination to not walk in anger all the time, to not let my past with what happened with my mom and my upbringing and all the things in my life define who I am today. It's not going to happen in my life because Christ is going to define in me who I am. And Christ is going to define in me where I'm going to be going in my life from this day on, not what happened in the past. He's going to redeem the past. He's going to take the past to make something good out of it. But I'm not going to walk in this anger anymore. Instead, I choose to be angry against the sin in this world. When's the last time you got angry about abortion? When's the last time you got angry about murder? When's the last time you got angry about pornography and what it's doing in our culture? When's the last time you got angry about the opioid and the drug addiction that's just running rampant in our culture? When's the last time you got angry about rapes and murders? When's the last time you truly... See, we hear it so often, we just become callous to it. Oh, it's just part of where we are today. The Bible says sin's going to wax worse, so hey, it's just part of where we are. Listen, it's time for us to get angry, but to direct our anger towards the things that are of Satan's work to try to create destruction, and instead let's direct our anger towards the things that we can do to make a difference. You see all these starfish on the shore, and you think, I can't rescue them all, but you can take this one starfish and throw it back, can't you? I'm angry about what has happened to this one, so I'm going to take it in and cast it back into the sea and give it life again. I'm going to be angry against sin, but I'm always going to love the person. I'm always going to love the person. Hard to do in ourselves, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we can walk in love and forgiveness, and we don't have to walk in anger anymore. How many's tired of walking in anger all the time? Yeah? How many just wants to say, Lord, I give you my anger. I give it to you. I give you my anger, and I ask you to help me to direct this anger and channel it in such a way where it's going to do destruction on the kingdom of Satan, where it's going to shed light on the darkness, where it's going to preach the gospel to those that are lost, where it's going to free up those that are in bondage, where it's going to deliver those that are walking in captivity. You see, that's the kind of anger that we can be angry and sin not and walk in that anger. How many's been angry lately, gotten angry lately about unsaved people? Have you ever just gotten so angry when you see people walk by and you know that they're lost? You just know that they're lost. Has that made you angry? I mean, have you really gotten angry about it lately? That's the good kind of anger. God help us.